Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Today, as part of our Kind series that we're doing in church, we thought we should import somebody who I think is possibly one of the kindest people I have met. So why don't we all give the beautiful Claudia Blackmore a great round of applause. She is very kind, you know. Like, she's always... morning. Every time I meet Claudia, you're just so gracious and loving. Are you like that at home all the time as well?
Oh,
okay. All right,
especially
so you're
Sunday
actually,
mornings.
You're normal.
Yes, okay, I am normal.
All right. Okay.
Thanks, Heather, you're beautiful.
That's really, no, it's a real pleasure to have you here. Claudia actually goes to the Lighthouse Church, but we invited her to come and share with us today because she's actually started a whole initiative called Kind Matters. And so we thought it'd be really great if she shared some of the things that she's doing with that. And we found out a little bit more about what she thinks kindness means too. So, Claudia, can you tell us a little bit about Kind Matters?
Well, so Kind Matters is a concept that I believe was... Actually, if I can just tell you a little bit of the story. So what happened was 2 years ago, I had my daughter Tiger Lily and I was waking up in the middle of the night to tend to her. And I was going through my social media as mums do in the middle of the night.
Why so many mums post things at like 3 o'clock
in the
morning?
Yes, that's right, 3 o'clock
okay,
in the morning.
All right, yeah, okay, all right.
And I was noticing how much, I guess... things were on there that I just didn't agree with and it wasn't good for me. You know, there was really good things on there that I really loved and I felt so encouraged by, like motivational quotes or just like Bible verses or people's stories, but there was a lot of rubbish and I didn't want to see it. I didn't
really?
Choose to
rubbish
see it.
Rubbish on Facebook?
Yes.
Has anybody ever else? No, no.
And then from that, I guess I just this thought came in my mind, can I do something about this? And I guess I truly believe it was a kind of like a God thought. And I mean, there's a lot of people out there that do great things on there, but they're also karma based, they're new age based. And sometimes I like their stuff and I go to their site and it's just doesn't sit right with me as a Christian. And so I started thinking about it, dreaming about it, and I got an idea and I thought, I'm going to share it with my husband and see what he says. And Trent's here today. And I said to Trent while we were eating Subway, I think it was on Christmas Eve, I know how fabulous. We had young children, we're like, we're going to stay home, we're going to put them to bed early. And I just flagged it by him and I said, if this is you, I'm going to ask you to use Trent to tell me what I should do. Because that's the way I handle things sometimes, like, God, I'm just going to talk to my husband to see what he says. And I just flagged it past Trent. I've got this idea. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it, but I just want to change the way media works. I want to change the culture. And he's like, honey, most empires are started by stay-home mothers. Go for it. So that was really, really empowering to hear, especially because I didn't have much time and don't have much time, but God enables you to. So I do have a little video, Heather, that I can show you guys to show you a little bit of what Kind Matters is 2 years after.
Awesome. And we even saw our own beautiful Diddy there at the end. Woo! Oh, that's really good. Yeah, I really like that. So what have you kind of done with Kind Matters then?
Okay, so Kind Matters at first was... the idea was to do something, but I didn't know how. Often when you get an idea from God, you don't know how to do it. You just know you've got to do something with it. So after 2 years of just, I guess, refining and just re-strategizing, it's come to be something really simple, which I really like, which is we just share stories of people in our community. And we like to do that by showcasing it through stories. So their individual stories. What I do is I go out and interview people and I pretty much record their stories and then I have a team that helps me write it up and then edit it professionally. So it's done in a way that is attractive because with media you have to have something that looks good if you really want to impact that culture. And I also have my wonderful husband, who's a photographer, and he helps me edit all the photos so they look really good. And I just think that excellence is really important when it comes to doing something for God, because we want to represent Him well. And that's something that I've had to really keep, I guess, always in the back of my mind, that I want people to see this and go, this is, they're taking this seriously, like this is actually really important, and it is having impact, which is really good. So,
well, that's awesome. That's so good. So you've got a website. I think we've got a picture of the website.
So it's a website. At first it was a blog, but now it's become a website. And what it is, as you can see, there's like tiled stories which you can click on and read more. So the stories have I guess 240 words, so they're not very long. So they're things that I would enjoy reading, because I don't like reading really long stories and I get a bit bored. I like good pictures. I like, you know, and just keeping it short and real is really important. And I like to have the person's name and what they're doing. And I also like to honour the churches they go to. So I'm very careful to make sure that they share and I give credit to where it comes from. And yeah, it's actually a really fun experience. It's a lot of time put into it, but I guess just keeping that consistency is important. So
that's really awesome. So can you tell us what kindness means to you? I think like sometimes it's kind of hard to define like what's kind. So what do you think it means?
Okay, so it's a good question. There is so much information out there about kindness. It's endless. It's in the top 7 things that people search for in the world. It's one of the top 30% of words that people go and try to find in the dictionary. And there's a lot of definitions that are good, but I don't really think it really captures what it is. So if you look at the dictionary definition, it just says an affectionate, loving or sympathetic nature that is helpful or gentle. And in itself, that is fantastic. But as Christians, obviously, we know there is so much more to the word kindness. And I've been personally discovering that myself. So I can talk more about that if you like, Heather.
Yeah. Well, what have you been learning? I mean, what does it come to mean to you?
Kindness? I laugh about it because there's so many times that it's so hard to be kind, especially because this is something I really want to grow in. Because it is a spiritual gift that you actually have to go to God to produce in your life. It's like love. It's truly something that you need the Holy Spirit's help to do. So I just forgot your question, but you're talking about
just what it means to you and how it's developing
to me,
in your
okay,
life.
Okay, so... Yeah. To me, it's love in action and love with intention. So kindness doesn't come naturally to me. Like, yes, you could say I'm a nice person, I'm friendly and I'm bubbly and all that, but that doesn't mean that I'm a kind person, because only God knows my heart. And like, kindness starts at home. That's where I really believe kindness starts, is to your family, like honouring your father and mother and, you know, respecting your husband, you know, loving your children. That in itself is enough. Like,
That's hard enough, probably, most days of the week, let alone
trying to be kind to people that are unkind to you. And, you know, if you look in the Word, in the Scriptures, often Jesus is the greatest example of kindness, because He lived an uninterruptible life of kindness. Often when God was on a task, you could say, to go help or to do something, He was interrupted. And that's where I think kindness is really hard. When you have life going on, it's busy, you know, it can be very selfish. It's not selfish, it's actually normal to be like, oh, I need my time, I need, you know, all these things to myself. But to actually look at somebody and say, how are you today? Say their name at the check out, you know, to the person that's there, or there can be so many examples of kindness. It's endless, really, but all of it really is to draw people to Jesus. That's why I really that's one thing I really just want to encourage everyone with today, is that our kindness is there for a purpose. It's there to draw people to God. It's not there to draw people to ourselves, because if we try to get glory, it damages us. Like something that I've struggled with is on Instagram or Facebook, sometimes you put something up there and you don't get many likes. Does anyone understand? I mean, only because I put a lot of effort into my posts. But God reminds me that glory is meant for Him. Every time I want more for it, it's actually damaging, you know? So kindness in itself is to give without measure, to love without measure. And it's so freeing to love somebody and not expect anything. How freeing is it to give a present and to be like, you know what, I purely did this because I just felt in my heart to bless you. No strings attached. Yeah. It's because I want to tell you that God loves you and He cares about you. So,
Got me awesome.
On a ramble there.
So should I stop liking all your posts just so it develops more?
No, I was just giving an example of just how kindness, yeah, has impacted me, that it's not even, I don't do this for anybody, but for the Lord, and let His name be glorified. Yep. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
I do. Yeah.
And that in itself, if we can turn people to Jesus, we're turning them to the ultimate kindness, which is His undeserved grace. Yeah. And that's what people need, you know, that's His undeserved kindness of Jesus that saved us, and which is why we're here today.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. So have you got somebody who's like just a inspiration of kindness to you?
Yes, I've got a lot of people, like, personally.
Yeah.
Okay, so for me, I guess two people are in the room today. Obviously, well, I think everybody's lovely and kind. Deep down, everyone has a little bit of kindness in them. Not everyone's wicked, but, you know, what am I talking about? my mom is a really good example of kindness to me. I think it's come about more so than ever since I've started Kind Matters, that she just naturally is a gift giver. So I know that kindness is actually deeds. It can be thoughts, but it's actually an outworking of love. So mum is a really good example for that for me. And my mother-in-law, who is also here.
Yep.
And you know what? I could talk about everybody, but my husband is also really kind to me. He's very gracious to me. And yeah, just even my cousin here today, she's beautiful. She lives with us.
Awesome.
So yeah, compassionate heart.
So how do you go about like developing kindness in your life?
Good question. I thought about this a little bit because it's a hard question. How do you develop kindness? I think the first one is to spend time with God. Because if I be kind out of my own self, I can get a little bit disappointed. Or sometimes it's like for a reason. But if I do it out of love and out of God, out of spending time with God, it comes more naturally. It just, how easy is it to love people when you spend time with God? You know, like I know as soon as I'm a little bit, it's because I need to go to Jesus and I need to spend time with God. So this is my first way. How do I develop kindness? And as I spend time with God, I find that He will give me ideas. Like I say to God, God, how do I love people today? And He could just tell me the simplest thing, like, Claudia, you know, I'll just think of little things like buy a chocolate bar for my husband that he really likes and put it on his table. Or just like thinking of praying for someone. All of a sudden I'll think of praying for someone, I'll text them and I'll tell them, and I was thinking, I'm like, where did that come from? And I think a lot of us do that here. I think there's a lot of Christians that are actually really kind and we think this way, which is very not normal, you know, in this world. So and also the last thing is be kind on purpose. So know people's birthdays, know their anniversaries. If that's like big for you, like you just don't want to do that, just remember to, you know, welcome people, make them feel, you know, important. I don't know, there's so many ways.
So many things. No, that's
it's
really
endless,
good.
It's endless, really.
Yeah. I mean, because kindness, I mean, of course, as you've said, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And as we're spending time with God, it develops more and more and more in life. Yeah. But I like what you're saying about being intentional about it, too. That's really strong.
I don't think you need to pray to be kind. You just have to do it. But the thing is, sometimes you do need to think about it.
I don't know, some people might think they need to pray to be kind.
Yeah, like sometimes, like ways that are really great, if I could give like practical suggestions, is sometimes I have a little gift cupboard at home now and I stock it up with things. And I know it sounds silly, but it opens up so many opportunities. Like since starting Kind Matters and I've just been in the community talking to a lot of people that don't know God, sometimes I'll just give him a little gift or just something. God will give me an idea, and it's just like a little word on like a card. It doesn't have to be big. And it just blows them away. It just opens up a door. Like it talks about in the word, like gifts open up doors. Opens up opportunities. But just it can be a gift in time. It can be a gift in a practical gift. It can be a gift of you just being there, just supporting someone, loving someone. It doesn't have to be big at all. So,
oh, that's really awesome. We are pretty much out of time.
Yeah,
so we just wanted to thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. Claudia's got a beautiful table up the back, and if you want to sign up, if you're not already following her on social media or you want to kind of sign on and follow her stuff, like you're able to do that up the back after the service, and I'm sure she would be happy to talk more, because I think we've only just begun to scratch the surface, haven't we, of what's buried in there. Let's just pray for a second. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for Claudia, for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that you've given her to start this Kind Matters initiative. But Lord God, for all of us, Heavenly Father, that you would really help us to become kind on purpose, that we really take some of these words to heart today, Lord God, that they would just drop by the power of your Spirit into our lives. And Lord Jesus, you would be really opening us up just to express your loving kindness to all of those around us, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We're continuing, of course, in Kind. Next week is going to be a lot of fun. I found two kind people and a fill-in. So you work it out for yourself who's who next week, but I've actually found two kind people and one fill-in, and we'll have them sharing. One of them sharing from overseas, you probably guess who that is, and that'll be good fun. Today, what I wanted us to focus on was how to actually do something with kindness. So in a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about how to get our hearts sorted out so that we can be kind. I think one of the things Claudia said there is absolutely right. We better get with God. And I completely disagree with the ladies, although Heather got it right. I think we all need to be praying a lot more to be kind, because, you know, you guys are in real trouble on this one. And so we need a lot of help from God on this one. The Lighthouse Church people, they don't, because they're much kinder than us. So they don't need to pray as much. But we need to pray a lot. We need a lot of help. It's very hard to preach on these things because, you know, every time you preach about something, you think about how hypocritical you are. It's just one of those things where the Bible says not many of you become teachers, because, you know, you're sorting yourself out and you say, well, God, I've got to tell them the truth about your word, but maybe that's not who I am, and it's all a bit of a problem. And so in Life Group this week, it was good to be having a bit of confession time and talking about how kind people are or are not. I will tell you that one of the people in our Life Group rated 8 on the kindness scale. Now, I have to say it was a self-rating, so, you know, that might take it away a little bit, but the group generally agreed that was true. And I said that I thought I was... You did give that rating to that person. And I'll just follow up with that by saying that I rated myself around, I think I said a 7, and Heather said, no, that's not true. And it went down from there. I was a bit surprised, but it didn't go up. It went down. So it's a bit hard in this whole kind business. But last week we talked about how we are the products of the kindness of God. And I was talking with someone during the week who reminded me of another scripture on that, and I looked it up. It's actually really good. Romans 2 verse 4, talking about how we oughtn't be judging other people, that kind of stuff, because it says, do you presume on the riches of his kindness, that's God's, and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. It's actually the kindness of God that reaches us. If we were subject to his justice and to his holiness, then we're stuffed, but you can't say that in church. So I was going to say we're no good if we're looking at the justice and the holiness of God. We've got to come to the kindness of God. That's the only way we're going to get anywhere. So we are all products. Anything good in us is a product of the kindness of God. So we looked at that last week and how that is an outworking of the gospel in our hearts. And we've got to come to God first and let Him do some work inside of us in order to get anywhere. Today I want to talk about behaviors that we can work on that would help us grow in kindness. So I've got the three C's of kindness. They would be the three K's, but that'd be the Ku Klux Klan, so we shouldn't do that. So we'll go the three C's of kindness with a C, not a K. So then it works perfectly as an alliteration and you can all work it out. So three C's, perhaps in order of difficulty, starting with maybe the hardest to the... No, they're all just really hard. So the first one, the first C of kindness I've got is consideration. And all the husbands in the house said, yeah, that's really hard. You know, if I noticed the stuff, the dust on the floor and the uncleanness in the bathroom, if I noticed that, I might actually do something about it. But you've got to notice it first. You know, if you know what I mean? Like, consideration begins with actually seeing something. And all the guys here know that you get in trouble all the time because you don't see stuff. Heather cooks a beautiful meal for us, and I just don't see the dirty dishes. There's that filter that's there. Anyone know what I'm talking about? There's that filter, and I just don't see them. And when she reminds me for the first time, I go, there's dirty dishes over there. Look at that. It's always a surprise to me every day. My life is full of surprises because I see them. I go, oh, there's dirty dishes there. And I got no excuse now because we fixed up our dishwashers. I don't even have to wash them. Heather used to always quote that scripture that God turns things over as a man turns a bowl as he washes it. It's in the Psalms or Proverbs somewhere. But the modern translations are better because it says as one turns them over as you are. So now it's no longer, stop quoting that one, it's no longer just men, as anybody can just do those dishes. But you've got to see it before you can do anything about it. Am I right? I mean, that's the story, isn't it? So kindness actually begins with consideration. We're going to go basically thought, word, and deed here. It's not real complicated. So consideration is about our thought life. What are we doing? How are we thinking? Philippians 2, 3, and 4. The scriptures teach us all this stuff. That's where it all the good stuff comes from. And it just says, very simply, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. That's just a massive statement right there, isn't it? Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Don't have your life oriented about yourself. And I think that's what Claudia was talking about. It's so natural to be oriented around ourselves. That's the pressing thing that's on us. Every one of us is egocentric. We view life from our own inward part, and everything we see in life is from our perspective and all of that. And so we need to turn that around, ask God to help us turn around. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also what? To the interests of others. So the teaching is don't be selfish or self-centered, but rather look to the interests of others. Yeah, you're going to take care of the stuff that you need to take care of, but make sure that you're looking to the needs of others. It's kind of like the logs and specks things, you know, where Jesus said, take the log out of your eye so you can see the speck in the other person. It's kind of like it's so easy to see the speck in the other person's eye, so you're going to do that anyway. So Jesus says, well, hang on a minute. Make sure you look at what's going wrong with you first. Get the emphasis there. Because you're going to do the other one because you're a judgmental cuss. So when you look at them, you're going to see all that negative stuff. So make sure you deal with yourself first. It's kind of like that in reverse where he says, you're going to look after your own stuff. So make sure your focus is outward because the tendency is inward. And so that's consideration as far as I'm concerned. And there's a practical outwork. I tried to think about biblical examples of this. And there is a practical outworking in lots of areas. But one of the... I was going to say interesting, but it was probably interesting to the people at the time. For us, it's a bit weird because in 1 Corinthians, there's this progressive story about food offered to idols. And I know that many people here have wondered, do I eat the meat at the butcher's that's been offered to idols? I know this is a good question that you guys are asking that in all the life groups. I know that question comes up all the time. They go to the butcher and they go, how do I know if this meat's been offered to idols or not? Is nobody asking that question? Some people are saying, is he serious? Did I not know something? Are there idols in the butcher's shops? What's going on here? Well, you know, in the first century, when they went to buy meat at the marketplace, the practice was to offer all the meat to the idol first and then sell it, because that was like the good luck thing, so you'd sell more meat and it'd all be blessed. And so it was a big issue for the people of the day, where they said, well, now as Christians, do we eat that meat or don't we eat that meat? What do we do about that? And, you know, the interesting thing for me is that there were two things that Paul says, this is how you work that out. And the two things are these. He says, number one, you've got freedom to do anything you like. You don't need to be restricted. If that meat's been offered to an idol, who cares? It's dead animal. Eat it. Whack it on a barbecue. I don't care what dead animal it is. Just put it on a barbecue and eat it. I mean, isn't that right? Thank you, Adrian. All the other guys are all stunned mullets because they got up at 3 o'clock this morning and they're now tired and disappointed. So we've got to cut the guys a lot of slack today. I got up at 3 o'clock and I watched the game and I'm just coping today, okay? So just work with me a little bit. Rugby World Cup for the ignorant among us. Not to worry, you'll see it. You don't care anyway. Okay, so food offered to idols. They say, what do we do? Well, he says, first of all, you're free. You're free to do anything you want. It doesn't matter if you eat that, if you don't eat that. It really doesn't make any difference at all. Just go ahead. But then the second thing he says is, be considerate of others. Make that your measure. Don't just take your measure as my own freedom. I can do it or not do it. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt me. It doesn't matter. He says, don't make that your measure. Yes, that's your position. That's the truth. But don't make that the measure. The measure ought to be your consideration of somebody else. Now, I'm not going to read all the scriptures. Let me just read maybe one of them. 1 Corinthians 8:9-13. But this is a concept that develops all the way through 1 Corinthians and actually leads up to all of Paul's teaching about gifting and love and all that sort of stuff. It comes out of these issues of being considerate of others. That's where it develops from. So 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'll just read verse 9 because he puts it there. He says, take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And what he means by that is that they'll breach their own conscience. And so for them, it'll be sin, because the Bible says anything that's not of faith is sin. So if they are encouraged by you to do something they don't really sure of, then for them it's wrong, even though for you there's a freedom there. He says, so don't take that right and use it to hurt somebody. Verse 11, and so by your knowledge, this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it's weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. Wow. He says, I'm just not, if my brother is going to be caused a problem by that, I'm just going to not do it, even though I have every right, but I'm going to consider my brother and put him first. There's the measure. Don't measure things by what my rights are, but measure things by will it be helpful and will it be hurtful to somebody else. Consideration is right through the scriptures. A very tough call, I think, to be totally focused on consideration of others. We got talking in life group during the week about the definition of kindness and what does it really mean? What does it look like? And one of the ones I thought was good was, because I came up with it, but one of the ones that was good was that we are focused on the well-being of somebody else. I thought that was a pretty good way to look at kindness, that I'm actually focused on what's the best for that person. Because, you know, it's not about compromise and just giving in and doing whatever they want. That's not kindness. If I'm raising a child and that child keeps touching the heater, it's not a kindness to them to go, yeah, go ahead, touch the heater. I don't mind. It's not hurting me, not hurting the heater. Go for your life, touch the heater. That's not kindness. That's neglect and abuse. That's hopeless. The kindness would be to stop the kid from touching the heater. Yeah. Am I right? I know this is simple, people, but keep up, all right? So the kind thing to do is actually to help that person. What is for their best? What is for their well-being? Think about it. Consider that person. So a lot of thought, I think, goes into being genuinely kind to the people around us. And do it in not a nasty way. The second one, because it's all C's, so consideration. Second one is conversation. Conversation. I could have said communication. I wonder, can anyone think of a third C word? Chatting. What's a fourth C word for talking? What did you say? Chat. I said chatting. You can't just put a different ending on it and say it's a different word, Pam. That's no good. That's goodness gracious. Oh, she's got freedom, but it didn't help me at all. Okay, so conversation. Or what? So we're thinking thought, word, and deed. So we start consideration, communication, chatter, whatever else. How you speak. Now, I'm not going to go into this in great detail. You know this gear. I mean, this is standard 101 Christianity. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Those who respect and care for what they say will eat the fruit of the result of what they say. That's what the scripture is teaching us. So you've got to be really careful. New Testament teaching, Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech always be gracious. I had a truck bearing down on us yesterday as we were driving up to Mittagong, and this truck, we went from a 100 zone to an 80 zone. He'd been tailgating me the whole way, and then we hit the 80 zone. I slowed down because I've given up getting speeding fines, so I try to keep the speed limit. So I slowed down. He's within a meter. And I said, and I actually accelerated away, which frightened Heather, and she said something. And I said to Heather, it's all I can do to not wind my window down and do a rude signal. The kindest thing I could develop was to say nothing at all. That's the kindest thing I could, because this guy was being a right idiot. So I'm thinking, what? Anyway, so that's just by the way. I just needed to vent that. It's got nothing to do with anything here. But let your speech always be gracious. Oh my goodness. I cut off a guy on a bike once just recently, and now I'm a bike rider, so I actually cut this guy off, and he, I didn't realize, and he followed me around to where I stopped. He was an old guy, and he parked his bike behind me, and very graciously, he might have been a bit frightened, I don't know, but very graciously, he got up and he said, did you see me at the lights? And I was horrified because I hadn't, and I said, no, mate, I'm sorry. And then I told him that I rode too, and I understood. But I was interested in this guy. He was obviously very angry because he nearly got run over by me, but he maintained a graciousness. And I thought, that's not bad, actually. That's not bad at all. There was no jump off the bike, you rotten mongrel, hit you with a helmet and all that. There was none of that. I cut off a bike years ago, and the guy accelerated up beside me and kicked the side of the car. Now, that's not gracious at all. But this guy was amazing, and we chatted, and we talked about his bike, and realized, and it was good. You know, it was just an accident, that kind of thing, but he maintained a gracious approach. How good was that? Anyway, I said I wasn't going to talk about that much, but anyway, that's just my traffic experiences. It's the only two, they're the only two negative traffic experiences in my life. 30 years of driving, and that's it. That's all there is. Oh, I had an accident. No, I'm going to go with that. If it, always gracious, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Control what you say. Can I tell you there are two kinds of speakers, reactors and responders. And you've got to learn to be a responder, not a reactor. And you know what the difference is between a reactor and a responder? The difference is about 2 or 3 seconds and a second thought. That's all it is. That's the only difference. The reactor, something happens, whatever's in their heart comes out. It's just bang, there it is. There's no thought, there's one thought, there's no second thought, there's no consideration. It just blurts out. That's a reactor. And if you're a reactor here today, I want you to think about Chernobyl, nuclear meltdown, because that's what a reactor is. That's a reactor. And they're spewing out toxic waste on everybody around you. And if you're a reactor today, that's what you're doing. Your friends would like to tell you, but they're too nice. Your husband would like to tell you, but he's afraid of the consequences. Everybody would like to tell you that you are a reactor and you're spewing junk everywhere, but nobody wants to tell you, I love you enough to tell you today that you're a mess. Stop your reacting. All it takes is like 2 or 3 seconds and a second thought. Make sure the second thought's better than the first one. That's my only advice to you. And what it means is just simple. Don't be hardwired head to mouth. Just don't be hardwired. And make sure that in there's a circuit breaker that goes, that's not a very nice thing to do. So when I'm driving and that truck driver's bearing down, my first thought is, about, you know, flying things that I could flip outside the car. That's my first thought. Electric window, hand movement, it would be so easy. And he would get the message. That's my first thought. But then the second thought is, I'm a Christian, pastor of a church. He might drive past, I might know him. You know, so I got a second thought, and it goes, well, I better not do that, all right? I'll upset my wife by accelerating away, but that was a safety thing I felt on my part. And have a second thought. Have a second thought and make it better than the first one, all right? So what do we say? Thought, word, and the third one is... I had to get, finding a C word for what you do is difficult. So I put compassionate action. How about that? That's not bad, is it? A little round of applause would have been good there, but you missed out. It's too late, too late. Compassionate action would come right there at the end. So it's thought, word, and deed, real simple. Where am I considering other people? Am I doing whatever the second one was? Am I working out my communication? Am I... compassion in my action. Jesus was moved with compassion all the time. And most of the time when Jesus did stuff for people, it was because he was moved with compassion. The Bible describes it that way regularly. And I could take you through, particularly the book of Matthew, talks about it time and again. A couple of blind guys were healed because Jesus had compassion on them. I was thinking about Jesus this morning. And I was thinking about how people like to argue about this or that with Jesus. But the reality is that we have eyewitnesses and we have, you know, records of that time where Jesus healed and loved and cared in amazing ways. Ways that nobody else has ever done. Phenomenal. And really, so many people come to God because they read one of the gospel accounts of Jesus. And that's because he's unbelievable. Like, he's outstanding. There is nobody that works like him. So he meets these couple of blind guys and he's moved with compassion and he heals them. And he meets a whole crowd of people who press in, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion, and so he healed them all. And then he comes to another one. He's been teaching for a while. They're all getting hungry, not like ours. You know, we like, if we don't more than 20, 30 minutes, we think, man, that's it. We're out of here. But he was teaching them for quite a while, and they were hungry, and it says he was moved with what? Compassion. And so he said to his disciples, we need to feed them. And that's the feeding of the 5,000. You know, the whole miracle flowed out of the fact that Jesus had compassion for these people. And so compassionate action is there. Let me finish with this. The Good Samaritan, you know the story. So Jesus tells the story of this guy get beaten up, left on the side of the road, and then there's a priest and a scribe and a Samaritan. The Samaritan was those ungodly people that everybody hated. Just short story. So they were the foreigners that nobody liked was the Samaritan. And so the story goes that the first two, the religious guys, they just walk past, don't give a rip about this guy. And then the Samaritan, the foreigner, the despised one, the rejected one, he comes past, he sees this guy, and he what? He has compassion. And he picks the guy up, puts him on his own mule, takes him to an inn, looks after him, makes sure he's fixed up. And this is what Jesus says at the end of that story. Luke 10, verse 36, Jesus said this. He said, which of these do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And the guy he's talking to says, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Not the one who just had mercy, but the one who showed him mercy. The one who did something about what he felt. It's not enough just to feel it. We've got to do something with it. And Jesus lived that kind of life, moved with compassion for the people that are around him. Amen? Thought, word, and deed. Really simple. Is that all right? Thought, word, and deed. Consideration, communication, and compassionate action. Let's ask God to start stirring some of that inside of it. Amen? Can we start saying, God, help us? We want to be kinder people. If people are going to find out who God is, the scripture tells us that they'll know that we're his followers by the love we have for each other. They'll know, this tells us that they will honor our Father because of the good deeds that we do. You know, I'm looking forward to the time, because my son Andrew and his wife Maya, as most of you know, are in Cambodia, and next year we'll be planting a church there. And I'm looking forward to the time where I get the deferred credit. See, because I will have done nothing. I will have done absolutely nothing, but they will have planted a church, and I'll go over there, and because I'm a grey hair, and because I'm his father, all the people that are involved with whatever they're doing are going to go, this is the man. They will. I just know it. I mean, I'm going to go there, and every good thing they do, any bad thing, I'll just say that's Cambodia's affected them. What can I do, you know? But any good thing that goes on there, I'll get the credit for it. I will. I'll just go over there and I'll say, yeah, that was me. Thank you. Bring it on. That's what the Bible says about us. It says that our Father gets the credit for the good stuff that we do. Because he works in us, and we're nice to people, and they go, that guy was a real mongrel before, but now he's been nice to people. Something must have happened. And so they say, oh, it's God in his life. And that's the basis for our sharing with others. Yeah. So the best thing we can do to represent God is just be kind to people. It's the best thing we can do. If you're worried about, oh, how do I share my faith, and, you know, is it the four laws, and is it this and that, forget all that rubbish, all right? Just forget it all. The best thing that you can do in your workplace, in your community, just be kind to people. And let God be glorified by what he does in your life. Amen? Let's stand together. Come on. Open your heart. Let God do a work of grace. Some of you need more kindness than others. That's okay. Some of us are on -3 on the scale. Others are on 8 out of 10. And so those who are on 8 out of 10, would you come and pray for everybody else? And then we'll pray for your humility. It'll be okay. It'll all work out. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your goodness. We thank you for the kindness that we've received from you. We thank you that you've reached out in love and you've forgiven us and you've set us free. And we give you thanks and we give you praise for that. We can't earn anything from you, but you graciously have given us your love, and we give you thanks. And Lord, we're praying today that you would help us to be more like you. That you'd help us to be compassionate towards others, that we wouldn't be judgmental or harsh or horrible or aggressive, but you would help us to be kind towards others. So work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. While we're praying, please keep praying and just pray for God to work in all of our hearts. As we're praying, if you don't know God, if you've come in today, maybe you've been coming regularly, but you just don't know God. You believe in him, but you don't know him. It's not real to you. And Jesus came so that God would be real to you, that you would wake up inside in your spirit and connect with God. And so he died for you to remove that separation. And we're going to pray real simple today. And if you're ready, then you can give your heart to God. You can connect with God. We're going to pray real simple, ask him to forgive us for our sin. We're going to thank him for Jesus and give our lives to him. We're all going to pray together, and I encourage you to pray this way if you're ready to do so. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that way today, please talk to the person who you're here with today, or even just the person sitting next to you. They're probably okay. Just talk to someone. We'd love to help you with that. And we've got a little booklet that'll help you to follow Jesus and how to live that out. Don't do it on your own. Just ask someone. Go and see Brian, who's representing up the back there with the Wallaby shirt. And even if you don't support the Wallabies, although you should, otherwise you can just leave right now. And you go and see Brian. He'll help you out with one of those. He's a nice guy, and we'd love to help you to live that Christian life out in a real way. Thank you to Claudia and your family all for coming. Fantastic. Go and check out the table at the back there. Check out the website. Hook up to that. That's cool. Anything that helps us in this is great. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you walk with us now as we leave this place. I thank you that most of our lives are lived outside of this place, and we need your presence, and we need your power in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Have a great week.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from City Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.